All right, so everybody has a GI tract, right? And I'm guessing most folks listening have experienced a GI issue or two in their lives, but what about when it's not just a little heartburn after a spicy meal? What about when things get more serious?
That's exactly what we're diving into today, taking a closer look at some of those more challenging GI disorders, from the common to the more rare, all through the lens of nursing care.
I think this will be super useful for nursing students or even experienced nurses who just want a refresher. Because let's face it, the world of GI can be overwhelming.
Totally. And even though we're going deep, we want to keep things practical and relatable. So if you're out there cramming for your next exam or just want to feel more confident caring for your patients, you're in the right place. We're going to break down those must-know conditions, help you recognize the key signs and symptoms, and most importantly, empower you to provide the best possible care.
We're going to do all of this using your study guide, so if you have it handy, grab it. And if not, no worries. Just sit back, relax, and let's get started.
And I'm here to help guide you through it all. You know, for me, this whole GI world is personal. My grandmother actually battled Crohn's disease for years, and seeing her strength through that, it really sparked my passion for this specialty. I want to help demystify these often very personal health challenges and give you the tools to make a real difference in your patients' lives.
All right, let's jump right in. And what better place to start than with a condition that I'm guessing a lot of folks listening are familiar with? GERD. I mean, who hasn't had a little heartburn after a big meal?
Right? Heartburn is definitely the hallmark of GERD, but it's way more than just an occasional discomfort. GERD, or gastroesophageal reflux disease, happens when that stomach acid decides to make a repeat appearance, creeping back up into the
So
esophagus.
it's kind of like a leaky faucet, right? Except instead of water, we're talking about acid, and that can't be good for the pipes.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine that acid constantly slashing back up into your esophagus. It starts to irritate the lining, causing inflammation, and over time, it can even lead to some pretty serious damage. We're talking about cellular changes that can actually increase the risk of esophageal cancer.
Wait, hold on. So you're saying that chronic heartburn can actually change the very structure of your esophagus? That's a little scary.
It is, and that's why it's so important to catch it early and get it under control. Now, to make matters even trickier, there's something called a hiatal hernia that can make GERD even worse.
Okay, I need a quick refresher here. A hiatal hernia is when part of the stomach pushes up through the diaphragm.
Right, exactly. It's basically like a weak spot in the diaphragm that allows the stomach to kind of sneak up into the chest cavity.
So how does that make GERD worse exactly?
Well, think about it. If part of your stomach is hanging out above the diaphragm, it's so much easier for that stomach acid to flow back up into the esophagus, and that just amplifies the whole GERD situation.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like a double whammy. The hernia makes the reflux more likely, and then the acid causes more irritation and damage.
Exactly. And this is why it's so crucial for us as nurses to understand these connections, to be able to explain to our patients what's going on, why treating GERD is so important, and how we can work together to prevent those long-term complications.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What can we actually do as nurses to help our patients manage their GERD? It's got to be more than just telling them to avoid spicy food,
You're
right?
so right. It's about taking a holistic approach, really understanding their individual triggers, and helping them make lifestyle changes that actually stick.
So it's about more than just throwing medications at the problem.
Absolutely. Sometimes medication is necessary, but we want to start by empowering our patients to take control of their health, you know? So, yeah, avoiding those trigger foods is a great first step, whether it's spicy foods, coffee, alcohol, or even things like tomatoes or citrus fruits. We can also talk to them about eating smaller, more frequent meals, not eating too close to bedtime, and even simple things like elevating the head of their bed.
I've heard about that, propping up the head of the bed with some pillows. Does that actually help?
It can. It basically uses gravity to keep that stomach acid from flowing back up. And of course, we can't forget about those healthy lifestyle habits. Encouraging our patients to quit smoking, lose weight if needed, and manage stress, all of these things can make a big difference.
Okay, so lots of practical tips there for managing GERD, but what happens when lifestyle changes aren't enough?
That's when we might start talking about medications, and there are a few different options here. Antacids can provide quick relief by neutralizing stomach acid, while H2 blockers and proton pump inhibitors, or PPIs, actually reduce the amount of acid your stomach produces.
So it's about finding the right approach for each individual patient, tailoring the treatment plan to their specific needs and their lifestyle.
Exactly. It's all about teamwork, working together with our patients to find what works best for them.
Okay, so we've tackled GERD. Now let's move on to another challenging area, and one that I remember being super confused by in nursing school: inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD. It's like you have these two main conditions, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, that have some overlapping symptoms but are totally different beasts under the microscope.
Yeah, you're right. IBD can be tricky. It's like these two conditions are fraternal twins, similar on the surface, but with very distinct personalities once you get to know them.
So how do we tell these twins apart? What are the key differences between ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease?
Well, imagine this. Ulcerative colitis is like a wildfire spreading across the surface of the colon, causing continuous inflammation and those painful ulcers. It pretty much stays localized to the colon, affecting only the innermost layer of the bowel wall. Now, Crohn's disease, think of it like a series of underground explosions popping up anywhere along the digestive tract from the mouth all the way down to the rectum. It can affect any part of the GI tract, and it involves the entire thickness of the bowel wall, which is why it can be so unpredictable and difficult to manage.
Wow, okay, so ulcerative colitis is like a surface fire, while Crohn's is like bombs going off underground. That's a pretty vivid image.
Exactly. And those different patterns of inflammation lead to some pretty distinct clinical manifestations.
So how does that actually play out in terms of symptoms? What would we see differently in a patient with ulcerative colitis versus Crohn's?
Well, both conditions can cause abdominal pain, diarrhea, and even blood in the stool. But with UC, the bleeding tends to be more prominent. And because the inflammation is limited to the colon, you're more likely to see symptoms like rectal urgency and kinesmis, which is that feeling of needing to strain even when there's nothing left to pass.
Okay, so UC is more focused on the colon, more bleeding, more urgency, and that straining sensation. What about Crohn's? What sets it apart symptom-wise?
Well, remember, Crohn's can pop up anywhere. So you might see symptoms like mouth sores or pain and inflammation in the small intestine, which can lead to malabsorption and weight loss. And because it involves the entire thickness of the bowel wall, it's more likely to cause complications like fistulas, which are those abnormal tunnels that can form between different parts of the intestine.
I remember learning about fistulas in anatomy class and thinking, that's got to be really painful.
It can be incredibly painful and debilitating, and it often requires surgery to repair.
Okay, so we're starting to see how those underlying differences in inflammation really translate to different clinical presentations. And I'm guessing those differences also impact how we manage these conditions.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest differences is in the role of surgery.
Wait, so you're saying surgery can actually cure ulcerative colitis?
Yep. In many cases, surgery to remove the affected portion of the colon can actually be curative for UC. But with Crohn's, surgery is usually not a cure. It's more about managing complications like those fistulas or blockages we talked about.
That makes so much sense. It goes back to those wildfires versus underground explosions. You can remove the burning part of the forest, but you can't exactly dig up all the landmines, right?
Exactly. And that's why it's so crucial for us as nurses to understand those underlying differences, to be able to educate our patients about their condition and to advocate for the best possible treatment plan.
Okay, so we've covered the fiery world of GERD and the unpredictable nature of IBD. Now let's shift gears and talk about something that affects a surprising number of people, and that is malabsorption syndromes. I'm talking about those conditions that make it difficult for your body to absorb nutrients from food. And you know, I have to admit, I've self-diagnosed myself with every food intolerance under the sun after a bad meal.
Haha, well, you're not alone. But there's a real difference between having a sensitive stomach and having a true malabsorption syndrome. And there are a couple of big players in this category that you'll definitely encounter as a nurse.
Okay, so what are the usual suspects when it comes to malabsorption?
Well, celiac disease is a big one. It's an autoimmune disorder where eating gluten triggers an immune response that damages the small intestine, and that damage prevents the body from properly absorbing nutrients. Then there's lactose intolerance, which is actually incredibly common. People with lactose intolerance don't have enough of the enzyme lactase, which is needed to break down lactose, the sugar found in milk and dairy products.
Ah, okay, so lactose intolerance is basically an enzyme deficiency. Got it. But how do we know if someone is actually dealing with one of these conditions, or if they just, you know, ate a bad burrito?
That's where the detective work comes in. And this is where nurses play such a vital role because you're often the ones gathering those crucial clues.
So we're like the Sherlock Holmes of the GI tract.
Exactly. You're asking the right questions, you know, really digging into their dietary history. What did you eat? When did the symptoms start? How long did they last? You're observing for those telltale signs and symptoms like bloating, gas, diarrhea, even unintended weight loss. and you're advocating for the right tests, whether it's a blood test to check for celiac disease or a breath test for lactose intolerance.
You know, this reminds me of a friend of mine who suffered for years with digestive issues. It wasn't until she finally got tested for celiac disease that she found out gluten was the culprit. A simple dietary change made a world of difference for her. It just shows how important it is to advocate for our patients and to consider these conditions, even when they seem like, you know, just an upset stomach.
Absolutely. You never know, that upset stomach could be something more serious. And for someone with celiac disease, for example, even tiny amounts of gluten can trigger that immune response and cause damage to the intestines.
Wow. Okay. So this is more than just, you know, a little bloating after pizza. Mm-hmm. This can have a serious impact on their health if it's not addressed.
It can. And that's why early diagnosis and management are so crucial.
So we've talked about the fiery world of GRID, the unpredictable nature of IBD, and the food mysteries of malabsorption syndromes. Now, brace yourselves, because we're about to venture into a territory that some might consider a delicate.
Oh, I think I know where we're headed with this.
Yeah, we're talking about anorectal issues.
Well, let's face it, it's not the most glamorous topic, but it's incredibly important, and it's something that every nurse will encounter at some point in their career. And you know what? Everyone poops. It's a natural bodily function. But when it hurts, when it's uncomfortable, when it's just not right, well, that's when we need to step in and help our patients.
Okay, I'll admit this is one area where I could use a little more confidence.
Yeah.
So let's break it down. What are some of the most common anorectal issues we might encounter, and how do we approach these conversations with sensitivity and compassion?
Absolutely. So let's start with the usual suspects. We've got hemorrhoids, which are those swollen veins in the rectum or anus. They can be internal or external, and they can cause pain, itching, and bleeding, especially during bowel movement.
I've seen the commercials. Those don't sound fun.
They're definitely not. And then there are anal fissures, which are little tears in the lining of the anus. These can be incredibly painful, especially during and after bowel movements, and they can sometimes lead to bleeding as well. And then we've got those more complex issues like fistulas, those abnormal tunnels that can form between the rectum and other tissues. And of course, we can't forget about pilonidal cysts, which are those little pockets of infection that can develop at the base of the tailbone.
Okay, that's a lot to take in. So how do we even begin to approach these conversations with our patients? It must be so embarrassing for them to talk about this stuff.
You're so right. It's all about creating a safe and comfortable space for them to open up. We can start by using clear, non-judgmental language, making sure they understand that these conditions are incredibly common and that we're here to help them feel better, not to judge them. We can also reassure them that these conditions are very treatable and that there are things we can do to manage their symptoms and improve their quality of life.
So it's about approaching these conversations with sensitivity and understanding while still gathering the information we need to provide the best possible care.
Exactly. And sometimes just acknowledging their discomfort and letting them know they're not alone can make a world of difference.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from the fiery world of GER to the unpredictable nature of IBD to the food mysteries of malabsorption and even the delicate territory of anorectal issues. I feel like we've taken a whirlwind tour of the GI tract.
We have. And there's still so much more to explore, but we'll save that for another day.
Yes, there's always more to learn in the fascinating world of GI. But for now, I think we've given our listeners a great foundation to build on.
Absolutely. And remember, as you continue your journey in nursing, always approach your patients with empathy, curiosity, and a willingness to listen.
Great advice. And to all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of gastrointestinal disorders.
We hope you found it informative and helpful. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll delve even deeper into the nursing care of these conditions, from assessment and diagnosis to treatment and management.
We'll be back soon with more insights, practical tips, and maybe even a few more laughs along the way. Until then, stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay passionate about providing the best possible care for your patients. You know, thinking back to all the conditions we've talked about today, it's pretty amazing how much is going on beneath the surface, like literally inside our guts.
It really is, right. And what's fascinating to me is how much of what we see on the outside, those symptoms that bring people to the doctor, it's all a reflection of what's happening at the cellular level.
It's like we need to become fluent in the language of the body, not just, you know, memorizing the textbook definitions, but actually understanding how all the systems work together.
Absolutely. And that's where nursing really shines, because we're the ones at the bedside observing those subtle cues, connecting the dots, and advocating for our patients.
So thinking about GRD, for example, it's more than just, the occasional heartburn. It's those esophageal cells being bombarded by stomach acid day after day.
Exactly. Imagine those cells sending out SOS signals trying to repair the damage. But over time, those repairs can become faulty, which can increase the risk of, well, even cancer.
So it's like a domino effect. One thing leads to another, and if we don't intervene early, it can have some serious consequences down the line.
Exactly. And it's the same with IBD. It's not just about, oh, you have diarrhea. It's about this chronic inflammation, this immune system gone haywire, attacking the digestive tract.
And even with something like lactose intolerance, it comes down to this missing enzyme that prevents the body from properly breaking down lactose.
Right. And it's amazing how that one missing piece can lead to a whole cascade of uncomfortable symptoms.
It really is like detective work, right? Piecing together the clues to figure out what's really going on inside our patients' bodies.
Totally. And once we've identified the culprit, so to speak, we can start to develop a targeted plan of care. Sometimes it's about lifestyle changes, like with GERD. Other times it might involve medications, maybe to suppress the immune system in IBD or to replace those missing enzymes.
But let's be real, it's not always easy to get patients to change their habits, especially when we're talking about something as personal as their diet or their lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. It's not about like lecturing them or giving them a list of rules. It's about meeting them where they are, understanding their barriers, and working with them to find solutions that actually fit into their lives.
So instead of saying, you can never eat gluten again, maybe it's about helping them identify a few simple swaps they can make to start, right?
Exactly. Or if they're struggling to afford their medications, maybe we can help them navigate those resources or connect them with some assistance programs.
It's about empowering them to take ownership of their health, and that's such a crucial part of nursing care. Okay, so thinking about all the conditions we've talked about, what would you say are the most important things for a nurse to keep in mind when caring for a patient with a GI disorder?
Okay, well, first and foremost, we can't forget about pain management. I mean, these conditions can be incredibly uncomfortable, even debilitating. So whether it's, managing that acid reflux in GERD, addressing the pain of IBD, or providing relief for, anorectal discomfort, our patients need to know that we hear them, that we're here to help them feel better.
Pain is such a personal experience, and it can really impact their quality of life. So addressing that is huge.
Absolutely. And then nutritional support is super important. A lot of GI disorders can lead to, malnutrition, nutrient deficiencies. So we need to be assessing our patient's nutritional status, providing like dietary counseling, and considering supplements when needed.
This reminds me of what you were saying earlier about advocating for our patients. If we notice someone is struggling to afford the right foods or supplements, we need to speak up, help them access those resources.
Exactly. It's about going beyond the bedside and being that voice for our patients. Another crucial thing is preventing complications. Early detection and intervention are key, whether it's, Barrett's esophagus developing, those fistulas forming in Crohn's disease, or, post-op issues after ostomy surgery. We need to be on top of it, monitoring our patients closely and making sure they understand the warning signs.
So we're not just treating the problem at hand, we're thinking long term and trying to prevent things from escalating.
Exactly. And that brings us to our last and maybe most important takeaway. Patient education. Knowledge is power, right? We need to equip our patients with the information they need to understand their condition, manage their symptoms, and really advocate for their own health.
It's about moving away from that old school model of like doctor knows best and towards this more collaborative approach where patients are active participants in their care.
And that requires us to be excellent communicators, to be able to explain these complex medical things in a way that makes sense, and to be patient and compassionate. When answering their questions, it's not always easy, but it's so rewarding when you see that light bulb go off, when a patient feels empowered to take control of their health.
So true. Okay, before we wrap up this episode, I've got to ask, what's one question that our listeners, these amazing nursing students, should be asking their GI patients that maybe they haven't thought of before? Something that could really make a difference in their care.
Oh, that's a good one. I'd encourage them to ask, what's been the most challenging part of managing your condition? It's an open-ended question, it allows the patient to share their experience in their own words, to highlight what's important to them, and maybe even reveal some areas where they might need more support or education.
I love that. It's about moving beyond the textbook and really listening to the patient's story. And on that note, I think we've covered a ton of ground today. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your passion for GI nursing with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure, truly. It's always exciting to talk about this stuff, and hopefully our listeners feel inspired to go out there and make a real difference in their patients' lives.
As we're wrapping up our deep dive into GI disorders, I keep thinking about that question you shared. What's been the most challenging aspect of managing your condition? Such a simple question, but it really opens the door to understanding what our patients are going through.
It really does. You know, those conversations, those moments where patients share their struggles, those really shape us as nurses. It's where the textbook meets real life.
It makes me think about your grandmother and her experience with Crohn's disease. That must have been incredibly difficult for her, not just physically, but emotionally as well.
It was, yeah. There were times when the pain was so intense, the fatigue was overwhelming, and she had to make, you know, big changes to her life, her diet, her social activities. But through it all, she never lost her spirit, her sense of humor. She found ways to adapt, to find joy, and to connect with others who were going through the same things.
That's really inspiring, and it just highlights how important it is to remember that each patient's journey is unique.
Right. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. We have to be really sensitive to their individual stories, their experiences, and how they're coping. Some people are really private, hesitant to open up, while others are more eager to talk and connect.
And that's where the art of nursing comes in, being able to blend our knowledge with compassion and that genuine desire to connect.
Yeah, recognizing that we're not treating diseases, we're caring for people, for human beings who are, you know, navigating these complex and challenging situations. And sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is just listen, offer support, be present.
That's so true. Okay, as we wrap up, what's one final piece of advice you would give to our listeners, these future nurses, as they're about to embark on this journey of caring for others?
You know, I would say never stop learning. The field of GI, it's constantly evolving. There's always new research, new treatments. So stay curious, keep asking questions, and be open to different perspectives.
It's about being a lifelong learner, embracing the challenges, and remembering that human connection that's at the heart of nursing.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your passion with us. It's been wonderful having you on the show.
It's been my pleasure, truly. I hope our listeners feel inspired to provide compassionate, holistic care to their patients.
And to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of GI disorders. We hope you learned something new, gained a deeper understanding of these conditions, and feel excited to apply this knowledge in your nursing practice.
Keep learning and keep caring.
And be sure to subscribe for more deep dives into all sorts of fascinating topics in healthcare. Until next time, stay curious and keep those brains buzzing.